So it became him in bringing his sons into glory. I believe it's in Hebrews 7, it says, he became us. It's Harvey, right? Harvey? So that means Jesus would come to Harvey and say, Harvey, come into the glory. I can't, Lord. Come on, Harvey, come into the glory. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into the glory, Harvey. Lord, I'm a weak man. I keep failing. Come into the glory, Harvey. Lord, I've been praying the same repentant prayer for the last 30 years. Come into the glory.
Yes, go ahead,
Harvey. I'm going to use you next. So here's what Jesus did. Are y'all ready? Here's what Jesus did. He became him and brought himself in. That's why he bore our sorrows. He bore our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So, Willie Hinn the jerk didn't get away with anything. He died too.
He died.
That's why he changed.
Yes.
Why do you think he changed when he gets saved? Because you died and went to heaven. Come on, can anybody tell me where heaven is? Come on, where is it? Where is it? In here, all around. Anybody believe you're in heaven tonight? Anybody want to go to heaven? You know, wouldn't it? You know what would be really be great? Is I can somehow ship everybody to heaven, so when they get there, they'd find out they're right here. Then they're gonna change their mind about where they're at when they come back. Come on, say this. Heaven is the abode of God. It's God's elevation. It's God's mountaintop. It's where God lives. It's where that place that God is shaking right now. You know what? One other, in the Strong's, it describes it as being something that is signified. Meaning it's the gospel. Happiness. So God is shaking your gospel. Shaking what you believe. Shaking your doctrine. Shaking everything out of your brain that doesn't belong there. Getting everything out of your spirit that has become monotonous and historical and theological and stuck in the Greek and Hebrew, and it's got no spirit in it. And you come to church and you say, oh, that's a good word. And now we follow you, the hidden camera. And we found out something. We found out you only were able to just hear it without seeing it. Do you know what Job said after he saw? I heard with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He didn't have some kind of an encounter with looking at something. God has always been spirit. He had an experience in God that brought him to his own reality. If I could say it to you another way. How many of you believe that he didn't leave us as orphans, comfortless? But what did he do? Come on, what did he do? He died. He rose. He came back again. We received him that we may be with him. Is that right? That where he is, come on, we may be also. Where is that? It's a state. It's not a location. Where he is, we may be... Oops. We may be also. So how many of you understand that that place is in the spirit? And how many of you also understand that the place that he's put us in is that place of his glory? I'll give it to you another way. When the spirit of the Son entered into our hearts, the spirit of his Son, what did we cry? Same place. Same existence. Same reality. You know what's contrary to truth? Deception. You know what the tactic of the enemy is? He's the father of lies. People continue to remain within the boundaries of their deception without believing the truth. So they fix their outer man and make him look pretty. I think it's great. But the fact is that they have no idea the condition of their spiritual man. And what we have to come into reality with is the power that's in the spirit. You see, this is why Jesus, when he was instructing his disciples, he was showing them the order of things. The order has to flow this way. When he said, seek the kingdom of God first, and his rightness, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he was saying is this. If you work for a living, you're subject to it. Listen to one more time. If you work for a living, you're subject to your living. Okay? But if you work for the kingdom in your living, it's going to just follow you. Say one more time. Anybody here, any carpenters? Any salesmen? Anybody have a job? Okay, anybody have a job? Put your hand up. Everybody have a job. Now listen, I'm not telling you to be irresponsible. I'm not telling you not to go to work. But why do you go to work? To make a living. Come on, let's be up front here. Take inventory so we can change it. Starts right here. One more time, everybody has a job. Everybody that wants a job. We work for a living. But if you work for the kingdom in your living, your living will work for you. So that means it like this. Either you work for money, or money will work for you. Either you have it, or it's got you. And it doesn't matter how much of it you got. The truth is, how much of you does it have? Which means, if your thinking is earthy, you're earthy. If your thinking is heavenly, you're heavenly. And God is looking to hear heaven. Just make your requests known. Do you know that you cannot agree with God on the earth unless you've already agreed with Him in heaven? Earth becomes the manifestation of a heavenly order. Listen carefully. I believe with all my heart that everything that the church history has seen does not compare with the glory that is about to be revealed in this age. I believe with all my heart that as glorious as the age of grace has been, how many are glad for the grace of God? But you know, we're just coming into the age of the kingdom. The age of the kingdom is something that must be pressed into, possessed, not simply by inheritance of promise, but by the experience of you chasing after, by you taking the participation of. This is the promised land. And it's got all kinds of Pharisees in it. It's got all kinds of enemies in it. It's got all kinds of people rolling in the dust in it. Philistines and confusions and bowels. These towers of Babel. But there's a people who will not be moved by what they see, but they're moved by what the Spirit is saying, and they'll change what they see. I'm telling you, people of God, the gifts of the Spirit are but a deposit and the earnest of our inheritance. It is only the first fruits. It is only the earnest of our inheritance. That means that if you put a down payment on something, but you haven't gotten the whole thing yet. So that means with all of the glory of what we've experienced thus far within this Feast of Pentecost has been not but that which is the earnest of our inheritance. What we've come into now is the payoff, the glory, the manifestation, the fullness, the favor. We're coming into that which is the completion. That means that the time, I love this theme, it's time to favor Zion. Do you know what God has in Zion? Isaiah 62 says, God has a priesthood in Zion that will not give him rest. Do you know that? God says, for Zion's sake, will I not keep my peace? I can't keep this thing quiet anymore, even for Jerusalem's sake. And God's going to have a priesthood that's not going to give him rest. They're going to drive him crazy until that word that he's given is fulfilled and personified. You see, there's always has to be a priesthood that has, if you will, the stepping into the age to come. These that have entered into that, Hebrews 6 tells us, of those that have tasted of the good word, and they have come into the reality, the power of that age to come. That means you have a people that are crossing over. A priesthood that is standing in the gap. A priesthood that has come into the Jordan, and they're the first ones in, and they're not going to get out of there until the last one crosses over. The first one's in, and the last one's out. I believe God has a gathering even within this conference. And I'm not talking about ourselves, but I mean God has a people. If they're, and I want you to hear me, if they're in full-time ministry or not, anybody saved in the house? Yeah. You're in full-time ministry. The truth of the matter is, God has a priesthood. How many of you know we're kings and priests unto our God? God has a priesthood that is literally closing the one age and introducing to the next. They're crossing people over from one into the other. There's a power that God is about to unleash like we've never experienced before. God spoke this to me, and I wrote it down, and people make fun of me because, sometimes they do. Can I tell you something? See this notebook? It's just a notebook, right? Nobody can read my writing but me, because I write in tongues. Do you know that to me, now, Lord, help us. Come on, not to be offended. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
To me, what is written within these pages is as much word that is what written in these pages. Now, wait. The words that are written in these pages only confirm what's written in these pages. And these pages only confirm what's written in these pages. That means that when I bring this, the reason I bring it, I tape them up, I try to keep them together, I always pray for time where I can rewrite it neat and bring it in a nice looking preacher-like book. And God gave me this statement, and I have to keep them in front of me, and I bind them around my neck. And here's the statement the Lord gave me that has just absolutely flabbergasted me. And this has been written since the early 90s, and I'm telling you, the more that I dwell upon it, the more that God is unveiling more in it. And here's this, and I got it one morning, and I mean, you have to understand, my brain is slow. I'm not an educated person. I have to go back and get my education. That's what I've had to do all my life. Because when I'm learning, everybody's getting it but me. You know what I'm saying? When the teacher is giving the lesson, I look at the teacher like some of you are looking at me like right now. Huh? So I have to go get a job and come back and finish it after they've all left. But one thing for sure is God has made a deposit in my spirit.
Yeah.
And for that I'm forever grateful. But I always have to go back to let my brain catch on to what my spirit has always known.
Yeah.
That's why God doesn't speak to your brain. He speaks to your spirit. His word will bypass your brain and penetrate your spirit. And your brain will eventually get it. So if you're hearing things tonight that you aren't quite sure about, it's all right. Because your heart is going, yes! And your brain is going, right? I can tell. I know that. See, I know that look. And here's the word. Are you ready for this word? If I believe I'm a creature of my outside conditions, then I become their victim. But if I believe greater is he that is in me. Hear that again. But if I believe greater is he that is in me, then I will not be subject to anything outside of me. One more time. If I believe that I'm a creature of my outside conditions, then I become their victim. But if, how many of you believe greater is he that is in me? Do you any of you believe greater? Come on, help me. Greater. Now see, we'll take that. Well, greater is he that's in me, that's in the world. You see, we always apply it to the devil, and we don't deal with, I'm in the world. Well, the devil is the prince of the air. Well, he's not the prince of my air. I'm not of this world anymore. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm not a part of this mankind. I'm part of a kingdom now. A different government. A royal priesthood. So, if I believe greater is he that's in me, I used to say it like this. Greater is he that's in me than me. See, I don't really like to go where the devil is very much. Because you know what I find out? He's not omnipresent, he's not sovereign, and I get his attention, he follows me around. And I find out when I behold Jesus, and I put my focus upon him, I change from glory to glory. And the devil can't come to my dwelling. The way that he flees, I resist him. Get that right now. But if greater is he that is in me, then I'm no longer subject to anything outside of me. To some people, they're going to sound like, I'm talking about me. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm talking about greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Therefore, I'm no longer subject to anything that's outside of me. Do you know why the church, can I say something about the church as my observation? Can I? I've been around a long time, raised in ministry. I'm part of a family of ministers. I've seen miracles people can't even dream about. But I've only seen him in a certain environment. I didn't see him in people's homes and families. I didn't see them in their children. I saw them only in a certain environment. Now, people get shocked when I say this, but Bishop Huskins said it one time in our church, and they were surprised that he sees it like I see it. But you know that my brother does not pray for the sick. He worships God, and people get healed. Anybody ever been to any of his crusades? Now, he will have a corporate prayer, but not until they fill the house with smoke. And they worship, and they worship. And if you're on a time schedule, don't go. Because they're going to be in there worshiping God for a while. And after that environment of the Spirit is all present, all of a sudden you start hearing stuff going on in the congregation. And he gets the word of knowledge. Somebody over here is getting healed of this. Somebody over there is getting healed of that. And people start coming out of their seats. In fact, we used to have workers work in the altar. And these workers did not let people come up to the platform unless they've already been healed. That's how he did it. The truth of the matter is, people that were sick didn't get prayed for. People who already got healed got prayed for. That's just the way he operates. If any of you have ever been to, just watch it. You'll notice when they bring him forward, there's someone who's saying, Pastor, this person has been healed of such and such. Right? So what took place? There was a glory by which the power of God is manifest. People received that manifestation, that impartation of the Spirit. They didn't go somewhere to get it. It's there already. Right? There was a overruling of all natural conditions. Something broke through and they became a channel through which God's power was released. I'm believing God, some of you to get healed and never get sick again with that same problem. How many of you believe that? That means that there has to be an environment. But let's take it one step further. The step further is that we cannot afford to say, every time we have a need of a situation, well, let's get the instruments and let's get the musicians. And if you're in the middle of a bus stop and God moves on you to minister to someone, you can't start walking around in circles acting like a Pentecostal. Come on. That means the power has to be ready. Ready to be written now. Right? You know why? Because you're no longer, hear this, having to create the environment. The environment has not created you. And there's been a change, a transformation, a being renewed. Paul says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, come on, walk ye in Him. How do you walk in Him? How do I walk in Jesus Christ? Come on, how do you walk in Him? In Romans, he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you put Him on? You get up in the morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Do you know how Pentecostals pray? Do you know how Pentecostals pray? I'm praying for Harvey. And Pentecostals pray like this. Give me your hand, Harvey. Dear Lord, please, Father, touch Harvey right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You know what the problem with that prayer is? Wait. I'm praying to the Lord for Harvey. And then I add in Jesus' name. Contradiction. You see, I can't pray to the Lord for Harvey in Jesus' name. I pray for Harvey in Jesus' name. Can you hear the difference? Okay, one more time. In the old covenant, they cried out to God. And God came down by His mercy and delivered them. In the new covenant, they didn't pray to God. They prayed in the name of Jesus. Anybody know what in the name of Jesus means? In the person of, in the authority, in the nature, in the very power. Right? So here's why the church is powerless to a great extent. We're praying to a past tense Jesus. See, I gotta make this clear now. See, I'm invited already, so it's too late. There's nothing He can do about this now. Hear this now. Anybody believe? Here's the mystery. Christ where?
In you.
The hope of glory. You see, it's only a hope as long as it's a mystery. But when that mystery becomes personified, it's the glory. Lord, help me. You see, people of God, sometimes I pray for folks in the church, and they don't think I say in the name of Jesus enough. So if I say, oh dear God, move upon this, Lord, touch that, Lord, let there be deliverance, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And they think the more they're in the name of Jesus, that it's a ritual, some God's deaf, He didn't hear you the first time. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I know. In the name of. Is that what they do? Come on. So here comes Peter. Sees a lame man right at the footsteps of the church. Hello? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. What did the man do? No, he didn't get up. He leaped. Now, if you would have prayed, oh dear God, please Jesus, look at this guy. Now God is up there in heaven. Let him squirm for 38 more years. I'm working something out in him. Right? He didn't treat his mother right, so that's what you get. All Job's friends show up. Some must be wrong with his spiritual life. All these conclusions are made. Do you know that in the name of Jesus there's more power? That at his sound of his name, the gates of hell tremble? Do you know that at the sound of his name, a heavenly host comes to order? But you cannot say it unless it's personified. Amen. Or it's just a repeated word. People are worshiping a past tense Jesus. They imagine him blonde hair and blue eyed. Like the artist. People say, I saw Jesus. What do you look like? Blonde. He's always blonde. I don't think he's blonde. You know what I think Jesus looks like? Like me. What are you all laughing at? I think he looks like you too. And you. And you. And if you can't see it, you're powerless. Think of it. People worship this Jesus. Do you know? You know what Jesus came? Remember, he came to Mary in the garden, and she thought he was the gardener. He was, and she recognized who he was when he called her by name. And Jesus said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." How many remember that? You know how traditionally that's been taught? That's how I was raised. That he had not yet taken the blood to the mercy seat. And that had someone touched him, he would have contaminated him. He got a print on him now. Oh, Jesus. Right? Well, back to the cross I go. Right? Come on. Was I the only one that was taught this? I'm telling you, as a kid, I saw a preacher do this. He said that he saw in his spirit. Like, know what spirit he's talking out of. And he said that when Mary came to him, he saw the Lord and said, "Don't touch me." Because all the trouble he just finished going through, 40 stripes less one, crown of thorns, beaten, scorned, died, go down to hell, preach, pay a price for all mankind, rise back up again, and here's Mary who loves him. She's washed his feet with her tears. She's broken a most expensive perfume upon his head. Oh, don't touch me, Mary. What's the matter with you? Didn't you see the hell I just finished going through? Come on, did he not go through hell? Don't get offended. No, see, but he was saying something. What was he saying? Everybody say ying. Got to learn that word, ying. It's not Chinese, it's ying. Say ying. Two men are walking in a field. And they're telling the news of the day. You all know the story. And here he is right there in the middle of them. What are you guys talking about? What, haven't you heard? And they start telling him. When he shares the word with them, something begins to burn on the inside. This was him. His disciples were hiding behind four closed walls due to fear. There he is right in the middle of them. People think he's just poof, popped on the scene like genie. He was right there. They didn't recognize him. And over and over and over, the Bible says, he came to them in another form. And they couldn't recognize him. You know why? Because you see, they're looking for the crucified Lamb of God. They're looking for the sacrifice. They couldn't recognize the King of Glory. How will you recognize him if you haven't seen him already? He'll appear to them that are looking for him. Hear this. He was saying to Mary, don't touch me. Why? Because I've not yet ascended to the Father. What did he say to his disciples? I will come again and receive you unto myself. Myself. Where I am, you may be also. Now that one, go ahead and touch him. Listen carefully. If she would have touched, if you will, an outside Jesus, she would have continued to look for an outside God. He didn't want to touch you, that one. But the one you're going to touch is the King of Glory. And he has chosen you to be his everlasting habitation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is God personified in man. Emmanuel. God with us. But it's going to have to take the shattering of that Adamic influence and Adamic nature and mindset and that man that keeps working and working and working so he can die one day and have 20 people at his funeral saying something nice about him, then go to McDonald's and forget it. Spinning their wheels, wasting their years, walking around this wilderness over and over and over, performing the same monotonous religious deeds with no eternal change. You got to rip that man out of your system. You got to look in the mirror and see him as he is. Am I saying you're God? Absolutely not. He's God. Remember, you're not becoming him. He became you. It's all about him. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. It's totally all Jesus. King of Glory, author and finisher.
Amen.
If you can't see him for who he is, you're going to pray to him. And wait. And you're going to think he's ignoring you. Or he's not aware of your afflictions. He's something busy doing something bigger. And you will circulate and circulate in the same prayer. Waiting for God to answer you. People say, oh, I'm waiting on God. What's taking him so long? He's coming. When? He's here. And he keeps coming. Change your mind. Be renewed in the spirit. Controls the way you think. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified describes it that we put on the new man. That's been created in the very image. James describes it like, you know, the man that's only a hearer of the word, Sunday after Sunday, service after service, hearing such great preachers like this. You know, you all have such a oracle of God within this house. I hope to God you know it. How many of you know God's given you a gift within this house? I'm not promoting the man. I'm talking about the Christ that's within him. The truth of the matter is, he's changing lives all over the place. His books are transforming ministers. He's had an impact on my life. Why? Who am I seeing? Who am I hearing? He can't change me. But God can. People are praying, waiting. Now listen. God surely will put you through a process, and God surely will develop you, and time will work for your benefit and development and maturing. But ultimately, you've suffered with Him, that you may reign with Him. I mean, no, it's with Him. It's a joint participation of rule. It's a participation of sovereignty. Do you know the word rule means sovereign? The truth is, what's blocking the flow is the reality of His presence. And the reality of His presence goes beyond what you feel or the songs you sing. The reality of His presence is when you can see Him personified. Not trying to make yourself like Him. You can't. No one can be like Jesus. Lord, make me like You. No! Lord, become me! You can't be like Jesus. No one can be like Jesus but Jesus. But when that overrules you, takes over you, transforms you, you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And now you see what James says about the hearers of the word. Service after service, people are hearing the word of God. Do you know what frustrates me as a pastor more than anything? Is that I could sit in the church. People of God, I've seen this happen for so many years, it drives me crazy. I could get up there and preach one sermon after the next, I mean week after week, service after service, Sundays and Wednesdays, and years will pass. And then these people will make appointments for counseling, and I think that's great. And then I listen to them, and I wonder, have they heard anything I've been preaching for the last 9, 10 years? That they've been sitting in that chair over and over hearing the same? I mean, and they've come to me and said, oh, Pastor, now what a glorious, what a word, oh, Pastor. Come on. And then they come to me, and they can't deal with the most elementary of problems. James describes it like this. The hearer of the word is like the guy that looks in the mirror. And as soon as he walks away, he forgets.
Yeah.
What happened to him? He forgot. You know what I find all over the place in the body of Christ? People forgot. I forgot. Why in this mess? I forgot. Forgot what? Forgot your Genesis. You forgot your beginning.
Resurrection Life Center is located in Orlando, Florida's Metro West area. For further information on this ministry or how you can receive these life-changing messages on a regular basis, write or call now. Address: Resurrection Life Center, 821 Kirkman Road, Orlando, Florida 32811. Telephone 407-578-5131.